back. Man, I'm glad you chose to be with us today. Thanks for venturing out and being a part of this service. And for those watching at home, whenever you're ready to come back, we'd love to have you here to be a part of it. But I know until this is kind of course clear, many of you feel the need to still be home. And I get it. I totally do. With my wife going through all that she's going through, I think we would probably make those decisions too. So, but thankfully, we're in masks. Appreciate you guys wearing masks for the benefit of all people. But man, the worship today just fired me up today. You know, to be in God's presence, we talked last week about the tuning fork and how there's a resonance that happens when God's people are together, when believers gather together and we sing in harmony with God and we fellowship together. There's something special about that atmosphere, and I know that today, I pray that you felt that experience as well. I know that I have. I want to call your attention to remind you to make sure that we bring these two essentials with us every time we come to church. The most important essential is the Word of God. It is the way that we drive and guide our life off of, right? This is the book that will help us live with fewer regrets, make wise decisions, and secures our home eternal in the heavens. It's the book that has the power to transform and radically change your life. It is not a book that is beneficial to you sitting on a shelf somewhere. It needs to be actively involved with you. So whether you use your technology or whether you're using physical books, I know for me, I'm old school. I need a physical Bible. I get so distracted on my device, but some of you younger people can multitask better than I can. But I just want to be undistracted from God's Word. And so I want to encourage you to bring your Bible with you to church on Sundays because you want to be able to search the Scriptures. I remember as a young man looking at God's Word during a church service one time. I don't know what the pastor preached upon, but something caught my attention in the Word of God. And although that message today didn't relate to me specifically, God had me where he wanted me to be able to leaf through some of the pages of his Word and hear it and have an encounter with him. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but bring your Word with you. The second thing is we're making available to all of our attenders and visitors a prayer journal. It's a message journal. Instead of giving you just a half sheet of paper that you write notes on for your sermon and then probably lose, we want you to have one place to keep those things. So you have about 3 pages of notes that you can take per sermon and then allow you to be able to, you know, to have a kind of a document of the things that God is doing to prepare you. Because here's the thing. God knows where you're going. God knows what you're heading into. He knows the challenges that you're going to face. And many times, like in my experiences, I've realized that what God teaches me ahead of those moments is preparatory for the moment I'm currently in. And so if you can go back and look at where God's had you in his Word and go back and see what he's been teaching you when you've been together as a corporate body, then you likely have the opportunity to be able to see that God has been preparing you, and maybe the decision that you're facing today isn't as difficult as you think it is if you can just go back and see what God has been preparing you. So that's what we're looking at about today. We're going to be talking about decision making. Two roads diverge in a yellow wood, and I don't know which one to pick, right? I remember that poem when we were in grade school. I don't know which road to pick, and you don't always pick the road less traveled because that can lead you to some really dangerous terrain. What we want, and I'm confident that every believer in this room would desire when they're faced with a two-road decision or multiple-road decision, is that you would want to be able to hear clearly from God and to do the choice that honors him in your life. Because why? We know that it's the best path for our life. It gives us the surest footing. It gives us the protection of God. No one in the room wants to go out beyond themselves. No one wants to go outside of the safety of God's direction. We want to be within his plan. Well, the good news is God's Word is full of verses that give us the confident hope that he will direct us and that he's a loving Father who will gently guide us along the way. He's a loving Father that can correct our course sometimes when we get a little off path. Chasing after the desire of our heart, sometimes God will steer us back onto the most direct path for him. And I think of verses like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which many of you have memorized, and the NLT reads this way, that we trust in the Lord with all our heart and don't depend on our own understanding. We need to seek his will in everything that you do, and he'll show you the path to take. So we have a heart's desire of a path that we want to go. You and I are always doing the same thing. I can't tell you how many people I talk to who are wrestling with a big decision in their life, and they say something like, I don't know if this is what I really want, because I really, really, really want to see this happen, but I don't know if this is what God wants. I'm having a hard time to determine, distinguish between my will and God's will. When our heart is connected to a decision, those decisions can get muddy and can get difficult. And so in this verse, it says that we seek his will. And so that's why we pray specifically for God's will in our life, to know what God's will is for a specific decision. And when we do that, he will show us the path in which we are to take. Psalms 32:8 says this in the NIV, "I will instruct you and I will teach you in the way you should go, and I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." Listen to the Father's love that's there. Listen to the Father's, that you can just see the Father's heart that is displayed here. That as a father, if you have kids, you'll know what I'm talking about. No matter how old your kids are, there's always a desire inside of you to instruct them and to counsel them in the way they should go. Not because you want to control their life, but you want to protect them from making needless mistakes and messing things up. And then there's a point in time that as a parent, we have to release our children to be able to make those decisions on their own. And it says in verse 8, "I will counsel you with my loving eye on you," which means that God, even though with our children we kind of give them some line and we let them kind of run and make their own decisions at some point in their life, we still want to counsel them instruction, but we still keep our eye on them because we're always there as loving parents to be able to give them counsel and direction if they need it again or need some help or stir them or nudge them in another direction. I don't know if you follow me on Instagram or not, but we just got a puppy. And you can follow me just for a day just to see how cute this little puppy is. It's adorable. It has ruined our life and our sleep and pooping on everything, including my stomach the other day when I was holding it. Such a treasure. But you know I don't like cats, and apparently I really am a puppy person. This thing is adorable. But I got to tell you, I'm instructing it, and we're teaching it in the way it should go. And I got to keep my loving eye on that dog everywhere he goes in the house. And so, you know, this is definitely an application for me that, you know, I think God's doing that as well to us. He just keeps his eye on us and he guides us. Jeremiah 33:3 is a verse that I've memorized. And if you don't have this memorized, man, put this in your memory bank because it is such a valuable verse. It says, "Call to me and I will answer you," God says. "And I will teach you and I will show you great and unsearchable things that you don't know." Boy, you can't live long enough to realize how many times you will face, my point is, you will face moments like these that you don't know what to do. And I call upon God all the time using that verse saying, "Father, please show me the great and unsearchable way here that I don't know because you know it all." And then Proverbs 16:9 says that in their hearts, that's our hearts, humans plan their course. We plan our way, don't we? But the Lord establishes or directs our steps. Some translations say directs there. Man plans his way, but the Lord directs their steps, maybe your translation says. But our heart plans our human course, but the Lord is there to guide us. And so we really need to stay in counsel and connection with God so that we can have that direction and nudging that we need. But if you noticed all throughout these verses that I've read to you, there is a common theme of this of the heart. And in the heart, we plan our own course of direction. But I want you to write this down in your notes. It won't be on the screen, but I want you to write it down because I think it's going to be important for you to hang on to the rest of this sermon today, is that your preferred direction began as a desire of your heart. Whatever it is, if you're facing two roads and they're difficult decisions, if you're facing multiple roads and they're difficult decisions that you have to make, your preferred desire, your preferred direction began as a desire of your heart. Well, here's the problem, is that your heart can be have incorrect motives. Your heart actually can have a selfish motive or a greed motive. Your heart can have a pure motive or a selfless motive. It can be truly wanting to pursue after God. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that our heart is deceitful above all things, and it's beyond cure. Who can understand it? That's why that we labor and we worry about the decisions that we're making. Is this what I want versus what God wants? Because I don't want to get it wrong, because deep down inside, you know this is true. The heart is deceitful. You can't look around the world that we're in today without seeing how a deceitful heart has led people into some of the darkest sin and immorality and wayward thinking that we are watching happen on a planet today. It is dark and it is heartbreaking because the heart is deceitful and beyond cure. Not to mention is it deceitful, but the human heart has the ability to, the unlimited capacity to justify and rationalize anything. Some of you right now have stuff in your Amazon shopping cart that you're justifying and rationalizing how you can tell your spouse about what you want to buy in there. Some of you have made purchases or made decisions, and you've rationalized why it's important, and you even fooled yourself into thinking it was necessary. So if the heart is deceitful, and God's word says, who can understand it? It's not just an answer that's left unanswered. It's actually an answer that is very clear what the answer is. Who can understand the human heart? It's God. Hebrews 12, one of my favorite verses that I talk about all the time from the pulpit, is how God's word is alive and active and it intersects with our lives. It's alive and active and it pierces to the division of soul and spirit. And it goes on to say at the very end of that verse that it discerns, that means it knows the difference. It discerns the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? God can understand it. And so we need to be able to seek and counsel with God through the counsel of his word. And this word here has the ability to be able to see inside our heart and divide and discern between the thoughts and the intentions of our heart so you can make a wise decision. You can make a decision that God is leading you into. So valuable and so important. The essential part of making any decision is to have a strong relationship with God by reading his word and studying his word, being a good student of his word. So I don't know if you're facing a situation today, but chances are in a room this big, we will have people who are dealing right now with a major crossroads in their life. Some of you, if you're not dealing with it, there's someone close to you in your family that's going through a major crossroads right now. And you've been praying for them, trying to get their answer, and right now you're wishing that they were sitting right here next to you to hear this message. And I encourage you to share it with them when you get home today. You can go online and be able to share that link. But my question to you is, how badly do you want to know God's will in your current situation? How badly do you want to know what it is that God's trying to teach you and show you the direction you're going to go? In addition to that, how long are you willing to wait for the answer? How bad do you want to know the answer, and how long are you willing to wait for the answer? Are you willing to be patient? Are you willing to do the hard work in prayer that it will take? Are you willing to get to that place to where your will no longer matters? You pray far enough and long enough that your will no longer matters, that you only want to hear God's will. Are you praying at a place that even though God gives you an answer that goes contrary to what your personal desire or outcome is, are you willing to get to a place to say, I will accept God's direction if I'm clear to hear it, even though it may go against what my heart's desire is, because I trust that my heart may be misleading me. I may have over-rationalized. The truth is, sometimes the hardest thing for us to do, though, is to wait. How long can we wait? Well, it's hard to wait for God because time feels of the essence when you're in a situation like you might be in right now. And if it's important to your heart, then time will feel of the essence. What does that mean by of the essence? It's a real estate term that you see a lot on contracts. And it says that you've got to do things by certain dates or you violate the contract. And so when time is of the essence, you have to meet the deadlines. And so sometimes there are deadlines that are imposed upon us, and sometimes there's deadlines that we have no control over, but we have time of the essence. Sometimes they're imposed upon us, and sometimes we create those things. One of my favorite verses that I have preached on many times, and I won't take the time to preach a sermon on this verse, but just here in Proverbs 4, 18 and 19, it gives us insight on how we should chase after God. It says, the way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn. That's a rising sun illustration of what we're seeing in the proverb here. The way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn. It's this rising sun which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. When we look out into the horizon in the early morning of the east, we'll be able to see the sun begin to show presence. The sky begins to change colors, and eventually that sun presents itself, and it's clear where the sun is when it finally breaks the horizon. Prior to the sun breaking the horizon, you're not really 100% sure where it's going to come up, but you have context clues that begin to tell you where it's coming. A lot of ways when we pursue after God and we're trying to understand the path that we should take, the way of the righteous, it's like that first gleam of dawn. We begin moving in the direction that we see God working until it becomes really clear that God was directing us in this direction. We begin to move in that way. But verse 19 gives us the opposite of it. But the way of the wicked, we don't want to be this, is like total darkness. They have no idea what they're stumbling over. So we have two real outcomes. We can choose wisely or we can choose to stumble in the darkness. And the difference is from a believer's perspective, is patience. When we move ahead of God, we have the opportunity to mess things up. Now, I said there's two crossroads, right? The circumstances that are out of your control and circumstances that are within your control. Things that are out of your control are situations that have been thrust upon you. Maybe you've received a legal notice in the mail. Maybe you're going through a divorce and you have these dates that are going through and they're just so painful, making decisions about the family right now, and it's just breaking your heart, but there's dates associated with it and no options on the table seem like good options, and you've got to make the decision. Maybe some of you are facing eviction right now because of what's happened through COVID-19, but thankfully you've had some stay of that moment because there's been some laws in place, but man, that date's approaching, and you know that as soon as that's released, there's going to be a decision thrust upon you. Maybe it's a legal issue, maybe it's a personal issue, maybe it's a hardship that was thrust upon you, and in those cases, time is of the essence because you don't control it, and oftentimes there's dates given to you that you have to make answers to. Here's the good news. God knows the date that was given to you, and he will not be late in giving you the guidance that he needs. The question is, are you going to do the hard work to be able to listen and hear? Today I'm going to give you 10 different ways to listen, to make sure that we're paying attention, because I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you just to say the deadline's here and I didn't hear from God, because there's some proactive things that you and I need to do to make sure that we are hearing from him. The other type of crossroad that we find ourselves into are situations that we control. For example, getting married, choosing a spouse. That's a decision that you get to control. That's maybe you're choosing to move from one location to the other. Maybe you want to change jobs or start a new business or do a new venture or choose to homeschool your children. These are choices that you're making, but deadlines are approaching, and most of those deadlines that are associated with the work that you've created and the choice that you've created are really in your time frame. They're in your hands to choose. You control the timetable. And here's a hint, because we go to God oftentimes with dates that we create, and we say, God, I need to know by Tuesday. But God does not operate on your time frame just because you give the creator of the universe his drop-dead due date. See the fallacy of that? I hear chuckles because it's funny, but don't we do it? I do it. I've done it. I'm like, God, I need to know. And he's like, no, you don't really need to know then. But the time for you to begin seeking God, write this down, please. Please write this down. The time to start seeking God is before you get to those crossroads. So many of us wait till the two roads diverge, and we're standing there with this anxious feeling of which way we're supposed to go. And then suddenly we have this renewed desire to hit our knees to pray. We have this new, renewed desire to do the spiritual disciplines and go to church and to read our Bible. And time is of the essence, and it's frustrating because you don't even know where to begin in the Word. And so you begin to search for things to try to get answers and those pieces, but the time to start seeking God is before you get to those crossroads. And I applaud you. If you're driving into God's Word, you're kneeling into God, you're praying right now in your relationship, and you're not at a crossroads, but you're chasing him as if you were, you are going to be more prepared for those crossroads, and he's going to be preparatorily preparing you in his Word as you pray, as you read. Whether you're corporately worshiping him in messages or you're studying him privately, you're going to be able to hear from him. And those that chase after God like that are able to hear what God's Word tells us is so beautiful. And this is how I know when you hear this verse today, you're going to go, man, I want to be at that place. And it says this in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Again, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Your own ears will hear him. That's the Holy Spirit referring to. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. I want you to be at a place of intimacy with your God to be able to hear the Holy Spirit's nudge. And whatever the big stakes decision that you're dealing with right now, that God would say, turn right or turn left. Is that what your desire is? How bad do you want to know God's will for your life? And how long are you willing to be patient, to wait, to lean in so that you can hear God's voice? So this morning I want to give you kind of 10 checkpoints, and I'll explain a few of these as we go through, but some are so self-explanatory and others are going to take a little more explanation. The first one is this, write this down in your notes. You need to have an accurate self-assessment. First thing, have an accurate self-assessment. We already talked about we have the ability to rationalize and justify just about anything, because we know our heart's deceitful, so we got to make sure that what we're asking for, that we're looking at it with the right motives. Is the decision you're wanting to make consistent with God's character and his word? Is the decision you're going to make going to violate his word in any way or to go against his character? Is the decision that you're wanting to make going to improve your relationship with God? Or does it have the potential to create a distance or a distraction from God? That's why it's so important not to rationalize or justify, because once we do that, we are now setting ourselves up against God's authority and his counsel, and it will create a hindrance. It'll create a wedge between us. Is this decision for your gain alone, or could there be a greater kingdom purpose? When we look at these situations, how, you know, is there one that one path that has a greater kingdom impact? The next thing is, do you have an accurate assessment of what this destination will bring to you? If inside your mind you're saying, if I can just make this move, if I can just change this job, if I can just move to this new house, and you say the phrase like it, everything will finally be perfect, you do not have an accurate self-assessment of your situation. It is never perfect on the other side of any decision that you make, except for the decision to follow Christ. My daughter Jordan just got a job working at Little Lambs as a preschool teacher, as an assistant. And her first day there, she said, "Man, I just love this job. I want to come here every day. This is the most exciting thing." By Friday, she said, "I couldn't wait to get home." Right? I mean, it's the grass is always greener. And finally, she understands what work feels like, right? It just eventually feels like work, you know? So we want to ask yourself, is there an option on the table right now that brings more glory to God? This is all in the accurate self-assessment. Is there an option that I am chasing after that represents in any way, shape, or form an idol or a god in my life that I'm trying to enhance or to increase? Is this decision consistent? Oh, this is big. Is this decision consistent with the story you want to share when you share your full testimony? The choice that you're faced with right now, if later you have an opportunity to tell the story of what you're doing, and you're explaining it to your kids or someone you love, or you're writing a book about something that happened in your life, you want to tell your full story about your behavior in that moment and how you chased after God. Is everything that you can tell in that story consistent with how you're acting today? What do you want to tell? What's your story? How do you want to explain how you sought after God? And when we do that, here's what happens. When we begin to have an accurate self-assessment, you may have had 3, 4, 5 different choices to make, but suddenly you will have fewer choices. Because when you pass it through this lens of self-assessment, your options should get fewer, and therefore your decisions should get easier. Great step one, accurate self-assessment. Number two is stillness and patience. Stillness. Be still before God and be patient before God. There's that waiting principle again. Write this in your notes. It's a short sentence. It's easy to capture. If you listen longer, you will hear things most people don't. If you listen longer, you will hear things that most people don't. I wonder how many times we've missed God's direction because of our hurried pace of wanting to just move on and just make the choice, even though we've checked the boxes of prayer, we've checked the boxes of spiritual disciplines, and now I'm going to make my decision. If you listen longer, you will hear things that most people don't. Man, that's my desire. Number three, prayer and fasting and studying God's word. That's one bullet point. Prayer, fasting, and studying God's word. It's essential when we are going through any major decision that we've got to get these things in our lives. But here, pay attention. This is a big one. You want to write this down also. It's not about the spiritual discipline of just reading your Bible, praying, and fasting. It's not about the discipline. It's about intimacy. The goal is not just checking the box of the spiritual discipline. The goal is for you to get to a place that you're in spiritual intimacy with God. Because I can come to church, I can read his word, I can pray, I can even fast, checking the spiritual boxes and say, I've done all those things. But if I don't feel like I've had an intimacy relationship in response to that, then I've done those things incorrectly. You want to hear from God. You want to be a listener who's going to listen long enough to be able to hear things that most people don't. You want to be in an intimate relationship with God. And I can ask you very clearly, this is a question you can answer in your own heart. Right now in your situation, would you qualify yourself as having an intimate relationship with God? If the quick answer is not an emphatic yes, then chances are you're stuck over on the spiritual discipline side. How do you bridge the gap? It's by the approach change. It's by saying, God, I'm not coming to you because I'm feeling like there's some legalism that means I have to read my Bible every day. I'm coming to you because I want so badly to have an intimate relationship with you so that I can be clearly directed and guided in your word, because the things that I'm facing I don't understand, and you understand the ways and the things that are unsearchable for me. You can explain these things to me. I want to live my life, Father, in a way that reflects your glory. I want to live my life in such a way that the kingdom matters to me. I want what's important to you to be important to me. Those are the things that we discover in an intimate relationship with God. It's not about discipline. It's about intimacy. So pray, fast, and read your Bible. Number four, we need to seek godly counsel. We need to make sure that we are talking to people who love us and care about us, who don't really care about your position, title, or authority, but know you well enough to love you and know you well enough to tell you the truth, even if it's going to make you cringe a little bit. Warren Wiersbe says this. I love reading Warren. He says this, that no one ever matures in their Christian faith to a place where they no longer need godly counsel. No one. You can be a believer 50 years, and you still need someone to give you godly counsel in the situations that you're faced. Why is that so important? Because those people who love you and care about you are going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And those people are praying for you, so they also have an intimate relationship with God. People who you get godly counsel from should be people that you perceive they have an intimacy with God. And because of that, and they know you well enough, they also know your integrity and character. And they can also tell you if the decision that you're chasing after has the potential to take you further than your character can withstand. Because sometimes we want to get promoted to that next place because it's part of our career path. It's part of our trajectory. We are all excited about getting there further, faster in life. But sometimes God needs to take you on a little bit of a longer path to develop you. Because your gifts and talents in you have the capacity to take you further than your character can withstand. And your gifts and talents in you can destroy you if you're promoted too soon. Such an important thing. Godly counsel can help us avoid those mistakes. I have a pastor friend of mine who has done that exact thing on multiple occasions. And I have to tell you, I left those godly counsel moments not happy with him. Frustrated and feeling like he doesn't get me anymore. He's losing touch of who I really am. But in hindsight, I go, he was dead on. Sometimes it's not easy to hear. And if you have someone in your life right now who you're afraid is going to speak truth to you and you're not going to talk to them about that godly counsel, chances are they're who you need to talk to most. That may be your parents. That may be someone who just needs to tell you what they see, because I tell you what, our parents, your parents, loving parents, foster parents, people who care for you and love for you, godly counsel, they want the best for you, and they understand the weight of the fact that you've come to them for godly counsel. They're going to be good stewards of that. Number five, be careful not to create an artificial deadline or time frame. We already talked about that. That time frame is something you got to make sure that you just don't give God a date and tell him to manage to that. So quickly moving to number six, we want to be alert and watchful. Be alert. Corey was talking about this today. We want to see where God's at work and join him. The Proverbs 4 verse, the way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn. We go and we see where God's at work and we join him. A great way. So if you don't see God working in a situation and you don't see him clearly moving in all the different parts and pieces, then you probably would want to pump the brakes. Be alert and be watchful. Number seven, be quick to listen. This is big to me. Sometimes God speaks in what appears to be a recurring, kind of spontaneous thought. And maybe if you're a believer and you've ever experienced that, there's just a nudge inside your spirit that all your relationship, now you can't lean just on those spontaneous thoughts. You can get into a lot of heresy that way, and you can get into a lot of trouble because why? The heart's deceitful. But there's something about when I'm in intimacy with God and I'm relying on him for an answer and I'm chasing and pursuing him for this clarity in my life, and suddenly in the midst of kind of what I'm doing, but in a prayerful attitude, I hear inside me, go or stay or stop or turn. This is that verse that I was telling you about in Isaiah. You'll hear this voice, and it's the Holy Spirit, almost just as clear as day. You'll be able to see what you need to do, that direction in which to take. Sometimes you just get this incredible clarity, and it comes like a spontaneous kind of recurring thought. You've probably had this happen to you, and maybe you've pushed past it, or maybe you've accepted it, but you've been in an airport, you've been in a public place, and the Holy Spirit gave you this little spontaneous thought that says, start a conversation with her. Start a conversation with him. Go have, reach across the aisle and begin to say, how can I pray for you? There's something inside of you. Sometimes you hear this moment. Again, you cannot rely only on those type of moments because it'll lead you to heresy. You have to make sure that it's consistent with your intimate pursuit of God. And then we listen with intensity and we're quick to respond because God wants you to have that window of opportunity to move. I know for me, number eight is another way that I hear God in those moments. And I have to do a physical repetitive task because it gives me clarity. So physical repetitive tasks can foster clarity. You ever been on a long walk or a bike ride and suddenly just have that aha, eureka moment? Sometimes you got to get our feet and our heart and our mind pumping in all kinds of different directions, and so suddenly you can be able to hear. God knows how he wants to talk to you. I have three kids, and I know that if I'm going to give direction to Seth or direction to Jada or direction to Jordan, I'm going to customize the way I direct them based upon what I know about them. God is doing the same thing with you. Is that he is not going to have a cookie-cutter approach with all mankind. He knows how to communicate with you. He's designed you. He knows the desires of your heart. He knows the fears of your heart. And he wants to be able to give you clarity as to what you need to do. And so he's going to come to you with the same approach. That's why I believe being able to have a journal that you can be able to document what God's been teaching you is that oftentimes you'll find out, this is huge for me, is that I can look back in my life when I begin to see God do this and this, these two particular things I won't disclose to you, but when I see God moving in these two areas of my life, I start to pay real close attention that God is trying to get my attention. Why? Because God knows how he speaks to me. And consistently, because I've studied how God has been communicating with me over the years, because I keep really good notes in my prayer time with him, I can go back and see, man, when those things begin to happen, I may be on the point of a breakthrough. When those things begin to happen, it may be that God's really trying to get my attention. When these things begin to happen, I know that I'm supposed to pump the brakes because I need to hold back. Because God knows how he speaks to me. I know I've learned how he speaks to me. And you can do the same thing. Intimacy with God is going to lead you to that. Not just spiritual disciplines. Again, intimacy. So number nine, review your prayer journal. Connect the dots. Review your prayer journal. Connect the dots. God is preparing you for what you need to know to take the next steps in your life. And number 10, obedience before promotion. Obedience before promotion. Is there unfinished work left in your current situation that you're trying to leave? So many times we want to get out of the situation we're in to get on to the next thing, but maybe God has brought you here because you're supposed to complete something before you move on to the next thing. Maybe you have to pass the test before you can get promoted. Not just take the class, but pass the test. Some of you feel like you're in the same thing over and over again. You're going through the same lessons of life. It may be that you're taking the class again to give you an opportunity to pass the test. Obedience before promotion. I'm sure if you've got kids, you know what it's like for them to want to move on to the next fun thing, but yet have not completed the thing that you've asked them to do. I wonder how many times we're not hearing from God because we've not completed what God's asked us to do in our current situation. I believe if we apply these 10 things to our life, making intimacy with God the priority, that I think you and I can begin to hear what it says in Isaiah 30:21. Your own ears will hear him right behind you. A voice will say, this is the way to go, whether to the right or to the left. To have a navigation of your life. What does that sound like? To have something that tells you turn right here, turn left here. It's a GPS. We have one in our cars and our phones. In a lot of ways, my experience with God he directs me, much like a GPS, is that God doesn't give me the instructions to do until I need them. He doesn't tell me my next set of instructions till I need to know them. Now, my phone tells me usually a little bit too late sometimes. Turn left here. Oh, that would have been helpful just a couple seconds earlier. Thank you. But God's always on time in his direction. Another thing about my GPS is that I don't get my next steps until I'm moving. I can set my direction, and it won't tell me to turn left until I begin to move in my vehicle. Someone told me before that God won't direct a parked car. And some of us are just using waiting on God as an excuse for inactivity. And I would encourage you to continue to do the things that God's called you to do in your current situation instead of just stopping. Because God will give you direction. Sometimes we have to be moving in order to hear it. Sometimes God will select a longer route for you. The GPS knows where there's constructions and detours, and it'll take you a little bit longer way, but ultimately you'll get to your destination. And I think God does that to us sometimes for a personal reason to develop our character, but other times he does it for a kingdom reason because he needs you to interact with that person over there. So he's going to steer your path on what feels like a detour, but it's a kingdom-minded appointment. The next thing about your GPS is it requires a data connection in order to work. My wife and I went to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina for our 20th anniversary years ago. And we left late, which means we're going to arrive to Myrtle Beach at 1 a.m. in the morning. So it was late night travel. Pouring rain, we both lose our data connection GPS. We don't have the map. We don't have the AAA thing. You want to have some tension with your spouse? Argue about where you are when neither one of you know where to go in the middle of the night in the pouring rain. Most of you will likely make a wrong turn in life if you lose your connection with God and you make your own decision on your own. It's important for us to stay connected to the vine. And the last point of this metaphor I want to call out is it's hard to multitask when using a GPS. You ever go into someone's house or location that you don't know where you're going? And then a very important phone call that you were expecting comes in at the same time that your navigation system is trying to tell you what to do. You got things that are important going on the phone, but it's more important that you get off at the right exit. Sometimes we need to take the importance of our life, set it down so I can focus on the direction that God has given me. It's hard to multitask when I'm trying to hear clear direction from God. So my time's up. In a moment, we're going to sing a song together. But let me just conclude by really saying, I guess, a bitter truth. Because like it or not, the decision that you're facing is yours to make. No one else can make the choice that you are faced with right now. Maybe your spouse together, you can make this decision. But for the most part, it's up to you. And God will guide you if you put these principles into play. But if you live long enough, you will eventually make an incorrect decision. You will eventually choose the wrong answer at some point. But take heart, because you have a loving Father, that although you have planned your way, God will direct your steps. And you have a loving Father that he who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. And you have a loving Father that will cause all things to work together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. You have a loving Father who can redeem and redirect your steps. Psalms 37, I just love how it says this. The Lord directs the steps of the godly who we desire to be. He delights in every detail of their lives. And though they stumble, those are the times, they will never fail or fall. For the Lord holds them by the hand. What a great encouragement. Even when we mess it up, we're trying our best to have intimacy with God and get clarity. We can trust that he's going to help us pick up the pieces even when things get difficult. If you're here today and this stuff sounds great, but you wouldn't consider yourself a believer, there's a really big decision you need to make today. And that is to place your faith in Christ so that these principles and these promises can be part of yours to take advantage of. These just aren't business principles that will work in your life to just apply it. You need to have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you to guide you left and right. The good news is that decision is an easy decision. Because when you understand your options, the choice gets very simple. Your options are to spend an eternity with God by surrendering your life to Him, or spend an eternity separated from God in a place called hell. Those are two bad options. It's two options. One's really bad and one's really, really good. There are two paths, one of life and one of death. And the difference is great between both of those paths. And you're going to find out that Jesus is the way, no matter which way you choose. I just pray that you choose to follow Him and experience His love, and not choose to reject Him and experience His wrath. This morning, I want to close by giving you an opportunity to pray. And so, I don't know if you're facing a decision, but I know I am. I'm going through decision choices. My guess is you're going through them too. And I don't know how bad you want to know these answers in your life, but I need to know them really, really well. And one of the big things, and if it was a number 11 on my list, I'd say be prayed for. Not just pray yourself, but be prayed for. And so I want to pray for you. And so what I want to do is I want to say everyone to stand together. We're getting ready to sing one final song. Before we do that, I'm going to ask you to do something bold. I want everyone to stand together right now. I'm trying to be respectful of social distance and all those things. But if you have something inside your heart right now, the decision that you've got to make, and you want clarity from God, and whatever that decision is, I want to pray for you, but I need to know that the people that I'm praying for. And so I want to ask you to simply come to the front. There's no prayer team up here or anything. You're just going to come stand by yourself, put some distance between the people. That's fine. Or simply just turn and kneel at your seat. But I want you to change your posture, because I want you to demonstrate to God that this is something important to you. Just don't stand there and listen online, casually sitting on your couch. Change your posture before God. Either move out of the aisle, or kneel in your seat, or sit with your hands in your head, your head in your hands, and just, man, pray. I want to know that this is you that I'm praying for. Because I believe that God wants to give you this clarity. How bad do you want to know it? So right now, I want you to move. Come on, who is it? Who is first that will move or change their posture and come forward? Amen. Praise God for you that are stepping out right now. Some of you just aren't comfortable stepping out. You just want to turn and kneel in your seat. Man, I pray that you do that. If you're watching online, mom or dad, and I just encourage you, or teen or student, man, get out of your chair right now and lean on the floor and demonstrate to your parents that there's something big on your decision that they can pray for you about as well. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for those that have chosen to move in this moment. They're not moving for me. They're moving, Lord, to demonstrate to you that there's something that they need to know from you, and the stakes are high and they want to get it right. And so, God, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you would give them the clarity that they desire. I pray, God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that they would hear your voice directing them, turn left or turn right, or hold or move, or have courage or stand firm. Whatever it is, God, that you're trying to do inside of them, I pray right now that you would stir in a mighty and powerful way inside their life to give them that clarity. For those, Lord, who are coming here and realize that they have not been creating intimacy with you, that I pray that you would stir in their Bible study time so they would begin to see and experience that intimacy that they crave so much, because they want to hear that still small voice. They want to hear your voice guiding them. They are not confident in their own decision-making ability. So, Father, I pray that they would have and experience that intimacy with you. For Father, those that are standing or kneeling, representing people that they're praying for, interceding for, I pray that you would move in the lives of those grandchildren, or those nieces and nephews, or that foster child, or your son and daughter that you're burdened for, and they don't know the choice to make. Maybe they haven't even made the biggest decision to follow you, and I pray right now that you begin to work in a mighty way to draw all men to you so that they can live their life chasing and pursuing you. Father, may your Spirit fall upon us as we chase after you to understand that. As we're here caught in the middle of this moment between the decision that we must make and listening and waiting for you. And it's not enough that we can just do this on our own. We need you to come. So meet us here again, Father, and answer these prayers. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can return.